Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, it's how we get there.
Because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsin Iowa's politics. Look at this week in the Capitol. But first, Wiss, I was there. You'll hear from a dreamer who says blame both parties in Congress for failing to set national immigration policy. You'll see the vote of the State Ethics Commission to name a temporary administrator. Representative Joe Sanfilippo talks about his bill pending in the Senate, direct primary care, and a professional who works to get those that are drug addicted back in the workforce. Wiss, I was there.
I think we need to stand up and say it's all, and it's all, right? Like, not all or nothing. But you have statistics and national polls that show that 80% of U.S. citizens believe that as a nation of immigrants, we need to provide a pathway to citizenship to the 11.2 million whom are already in this country, and we have not taken action. I absolutely believe this is a bipartisan failure.
I'd like to make a motion then that we set a temporary administrator for the commission, and that if she's willing to do that, Colette Reinke from the staff here would take on that position.
Commissioner Van Acker?
Aye.
Commissioner Wendelberger?
Aye.
Commissioner Davis?
Aye.
Commissioner Strakota?
No.
Commissioner McCallum?
No.
And the chair votes aye.
Politics is a place where we hash out these different viewpoints. We want to be efficient, so we want to accomplish our goals using as little resources as possible. We don't want to waste our resources. We don't want to waste our time. We don't want to waste taxpayers' money. We don't want to have to revisit the same issues over and over and over again. And we would like to be as efficient as we can in dealing with that. And we want to be ethical. But it's hard work. But if you do that work up front, the rest comes easy. If Democrats respect Republicans, if the Assembly respects the Senate, if the Assembly and the Senate both respect the governor's office, things get done quicker.
The problem was we didn't know, I don't want to say we didn't know it was legal, but statute was completely silent on direct primary care operations, right? We didn't know how they were determined, whether it's health insurance, whether it's health care. So it's very important for us to put this down in statute so that physicians like Dr. Gale know going forward that as issues arise, these are the laws that we're held to, and this is what we follow.
If you want a job and your addiction is keeping you from it, that's an opportunity from a healthcare perspective to intervene and say, we'll help you get rid of that thing that's barring you from your goal of getting a job. But they don't have insurance. They don't have a job. Who's going to take care of them? These dollars that the state legislature and the governor have supported is part of the story on how we can get around that speed bump and get that care to those folks and get them back in the job market and help our employers and then help economic development. I mean, we got to all work together. It does all fit together.
JR, I wanted to take a look at the governor's position since the first of the year, because it seems to me we've heard him say some stuff that he wasn't saying before the first of the year. So let's do a timeline, and then we can kind of connect the political dots. On January 4, the governor says the legislature should act to close the juvenile prisons and act on juvenile justice reform as soon as possible. Now, you and I, last fall, heard him say this is an issue we can pick up and a change we can make in the next budget, 2019 through 21. So there was a reversal there. Then I'm just going to throw in on January 16th, Democrat Patty Schachner won the 10th Senate District. We can return to that later. On January 21, the governor says we should pass the $200 million ACA reinsurance plan. That's a big deal. That amounts to, as I think Politico said, a Republican governor holding up the wrong term, subsidizing, keeping alive Obamacare in Wisconsin. January 24, the governor says, let's send out $100 per child checks to parents. February 5, the governor says, let's take the Foxconn credits and apply it to Kimberly Clark. hours after Kimberly Clark says, we plan to close two plants, lay off 600 in the district, excuse me, of Senate President Roger Roth. And finally, February 9, the governor and Assembly Speaker Voss say, let's do two things. Let's send out the $100 per child checks and okay the August preschool sales tax holiday. Okay, I've been doing all the talking. Connect these dots.
Well, Governor Walker called the January 16th win by Patty Schochner as a wake-up call, right? Now, with that wake-up call, something's been in the works for a while, but the timeline moved up. Like, for example, he originally talked about Lincoln Hills.
Yep.
That got moved up, right, to
yep.
try and do it now. They yep. pushed through a bill unanimously in the Assembly last week. Scott Fitzgerald also saying he's got problems with the bill, not sure where it's going to go. But there is a problem for Governor Walker and Republicans in general of several demographics, including suburban women, who are not real happy with the Republican Party right now. They're trying to find ways to address their concerns. Health insurance is a big one. So the reinsurance program is geared toward them. I've been told over and over again about this debate that that's part of it. The backers of this, you know, Governor Walker's folks trying to pitch this as not as propping up Obamacare, but as working on the parameters of what they've been given. We're seeing things like $100 per child credit. Well, who's going to cash those checks if they come? A lot of suburban women. So they, you know, it's maybe not that simple, but there are these demographic boxes that Walker's trying to check ahead of this fall to make sure they know that he's doing things for them. Or here's their concerns: the Rural Economic Development Fund through WEDIC, $50 million. Well, you're giving $4.5 billion, state and local, to Foxconn. Rural folks are going, hey, what about us? And rural folks, our voters, are a big part of the GOP coalition. So you're seeing this kind of like movement toward that. Also, I mean, to be honest, people I talk to the Capitol say the governor's kind of panicking a little bit,
okay.
trying to find a way to like shore up his reelection chances before these guys go home.
And the Democrats are calling these gimmicks,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if that label sticks or not, but and we don't know yet which of these get passed. Remember, as we talked last week, Fitzgerald's caucus has a problem with the sales tax holiday. The governor has introduced that. Senate Republicans have always walked away. So it's just... But are you struck by the number of new things that the governor has come out with since January 1 or yeah. predictable because he's up for election, re-election,
honestly,
third term, November 6th?
I'm talking to folks in the Capitol. You have to give him credit. The agenda he laid out, say the state address, in mid-January, at the time was thought to be aggressive, if not unrealistic. He's gotten most of his things done. Now, the centerpiece, the $100 per child credit, that hasn't happened. There was, you know, asking the Senate to pass a bill on pre-existing conditions. That hasn't happened. But the big to-do list, he's got most things knocked out. Now, prisons, again, another holdup. A lot of it's gotten done so
but
far.
But Van Wongard says, I think they can pass the state senate on March 20th.
I talked to Scott Fitzgerald on Thursday. He said, now, on Friday of last week, he made comments critical of the bill. A couple days later, he said, well, if it's just about closing Lincoln Hills, it'd be unanimous. He thought, oh, he's coming around to this bill because the Sheriff's Association is on board now. I talked to him, he said, no. While the Badger Sheriff's Association is on board with the bill, there are 72 sheriffs in this state. I'm not sure that all 72 know this bill and how it works. He has a problem with the way it is set up. There would be a plan devised by this new commission about mm-hmm. which grants to fund to build these new facilities. Then it would be sent to Joint Finance for a 14-day passive review process.
Sure.
He says, no, the plan should be devised and voted by the full legislature, not the other way around. So he's got some real problems with the process of the bill. I don't know if he gets there between now and March 20th. The flip side is, with as much as Governor Walker wants this done,
and a 95-0 vote in the Assembly,
what will happen? And then two, we're talking about a public safety package that Governor Walker's calling back on. While they're called back, what might happen? Now, don't forget, though, you can call lawmakers back. You can't make them meet on things.
That's true.
So if he calls a special session on public safety, you know, maybe they come back. But the Assembly doesn't have to vote on anything, and they're still saying, other than public safety stuff, they're not coming back to take stuff out.
And, okay, that's a perfect segue. The next topic I want to go into is exactly what the governor said. After he spoke to WMC on school safety, he indicates he's meeting with legislators. The first question you're going to hear is, Governor, do you support arming teachers? The governor says no. Well, listen to the governor on that subject.
Governor Schimmel talked about being willing to train teachers to carry guns in classrooms. Is that an idea that you're considering?
No, I don't think that's... there's plenty of things we could do. When I think about post 9/11 and how we made changes in our country to make sure that we were safe getting into airports and getting onto airplanes, I think the most critical things for us there was making sure that that people who would cause harm at that point to people using transportation were blocked from getting in there. And I think most of us certainly feel very safe today, years after all that. I think we need to have that same approach when it comes to schools, looking at making sure that no child, no student, no teacher, no parent should ever have to be afraid of being threatened, whether it's from a firearm. We saw yesterday there was another story about yet another bomb threat. Whether it's any other weapon out there, it's not just limited to one thing. I think in general, students, teachers, faculty, and parents need to make sure that they feel safe. And so for us, what we'll look at is the whole package, but I think having talked to teachers, most teachers aren't interested in that. We want something that's going to help school districts across the board, and so those are the things we're focused on, which we'll lay out.
What is the proposed data? We have a violence protective order process, similar to what Governor Scott in Florida has proposed after the Parkland shooting. Would you support that kind of a process in Wisconsin?
We're looking at an entire package to look at school safety and other issues related to that. So my hope is, we've been talking, actually started last week with some members of the legislature, had some more talks today. There's more we can do, but we'll announce that in total. I don't want to get ahead of the my colleagues in the Assembly and Senate, but I think there's an active interest in a comprehensive plan overall.
JR, the governor said, I don't propose arming teachers, but we have no other specific details of this package. I get the idea they've just kind of started working on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Parkland tragedy is only 2 weeks old, but what I think you and I as Capitol veterans are saying, we smell a special session coming, don't we?
Well, when the other governor says call them back, that suggests special session. Don't forget the Assembly adjourned late last week. Now they adjourned the regular session. Kind of a geek out moment, but the special session on the welfare bills, it wasn't adjourned because it only had 9 of the 10, so that's still open.
Yeah.
But call them back means special session. So, and the Assembly's been saying, we don't want to come back, except now, maybe on this. When I talked to Fitzgerald yesterday, he said what he's looking at is use of one-time money, state money, to fund building improvements. But he doesn't want to do anything that increases the levy because that would allow more property taxes to be claimed.
So he doesn't want to exempt the property tax levy for school security.
It's all in the development stages, though. So this is just kind of the broad idea of what Fitzgerald wants to see is building improvements, funded one-time GPR. We have some money laying around. Now, the child credit looks like it's in a standoff situation where the Senate Republicans are demanding it be paired with the sales tax holiday. Senate Republicans saying we're not going to pass a sales tax holiday, so that's $122 million that's out there. If they can come to agreement, great. If not, there's more money to fund some of the stuff.
Well, before they adjourn, the Assembly leaders finessed the issue by backing armed grants to make schools more secure. Do you get the idea of Fitzgerald's caucus going to take it?
Fitzgerald, when I talked to him, was kind of classic Fitzgerald of, I have to talk to my caucus. So like arming teachers, we really haven't had a conversation about that. The security guards, we haven't had a conversation about that. But the expense of doing that is fairly significant to add more personnel to every school in Wisconsin. I can't remember how many districts that we have, how many school buildings that we have, but that's a lot of people to add. So I don't know if that's sure that's the way what they can afford or if they want to do that.
And some potential timeline of a special session?
Good question. Senate's coming back March 20th already.
Yeah.
That's their target date to finish up.
Okay.
The Assembly had said they were done, but if it's a one-day thing to pass this bill, we'll see. I mean, if they want to, they can move it quickly, but they got everybody on board, caucuses to all agree, all that kind of stuff. And then the Dems, don't forget, they're going to push hard on things like, look, background checks, about other gun safety measures. Senate Democrats try to push through the exemption for school safety measures, which was in state law before. Republicans repealed that exemption from the property tax limit.
Yeah.
They're going to push those ideas when we come back to when they come back to do this.
And you also have Speaker Voss and Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald not exactly on the same page on a lot of issues right now.
No.
Speaker Voss said, like, it's like talking to Jell-O, and Mr. Fitzgerald said, where is it written that the Assembly and the Governor can write the future laws of Wisconsin?
Hey, go down the list of bills they sent over. There are a lot of things that the Senate has not agreed to yet.
Kimberly Clark.
And Fitzgerald has said, we will make changes to things that we want to.
Yeah, understand. Okay, this just happened.
Mm-hmm.
The State Elections Commission, and you and I were monitoring it, just named Megan Wolf as the new administrator, going to ask the State Senate to confirm her. Let's talk about her background. She joined GAB in 2011.
2011, became the assistant administrator in 2017 at the Elections Commission. She is not part of, as far as I know, the John Doe probe that went on.
I don't think her name was in that report.
So remember, all this fallout from Mike Haas stems, a lot of it stems from that. I mean, there are other issues that the Republicans have with the GAB, old GAB and people who worked there, but this really picked up steam about Haas's nomination because of the DOJ report about the handling of John Doe records, which were leaked to The Guardian, found that there was a crime committed with the leak, but because the record even was so sloppy, he couldn't say who was to blame. Haas was caught up in that. Senate rejected his nomination and Brian Bell's to the Ethics Commission January 23rd, I believe it was. The Elections Commission said, we're going to make him interim administrator again, put him back in that position shortly thereafter. And there had been this standoff ever since about what was going to happen, because in state law, if there is a vacancy at the Ethics Elections Commission for administrator of 45 days, the Joint Senate Committee of Legislative Organization can step in and appoint somebody.
Yeah.
Now, the Department Administration did not recognize Haas's appointment, said he is actually now just a staff legal counsel, not the interim administrator. So you're creeping up to the window where JCL could step in and say, no, this is going to be the administrator now. And then what do you have? Do you have a lawsuit to prove who it is? Be awfully crowded in the office, you know, who's in charge, all those kinds of things. And Haas said it was time to get away
from
this cloud.
He was just done fighting this. He knew he wasn't going to win it. And so he said, I'll be moving on within 2 months. I don't have a clue what he's going to do. I don't know if you've heard.
He said he's looking for other opportunities. The two-month window is important because, under the way, he has rights to go back to his old job as staff legal counsel. Well, Nathan Judnick is already there. If he stays for more than 2 months, Judnick would have to be laid off. So what he told me was he's going to make sure he leaves in time, that Judnick is not impacted by whatever he does.
Okay. So Megan Wolf has been named the permanent administrator, effective today.
Pending Senate confirmation. Yeah, ask for Senate confirmation.
It was a 6-0 vote, which I think is significant, since three of those votes were cast by those put on the board by Republican elected officials. The other thing is, it came, today's vote, 6-0, to name her, came after a 5-1. Former Representative Dean Knutson said, let's begin a national search. That was voted down 5-1. I don't know whether that reflects on Ms. Wolf's ability to be confirmed by the Senate or not. Any thoughts?
We'll see. It's very feasible or logical to think the Senate might use this year as a tryout. We have a spring election April 3rd, although Haas would probably still be around by then. We'll have nomination papers. We'll have filings. We'll have challenges, nomination papers. We'll have an August primary and November. Right. That could be a tryout. Now, I'm not predicting anything, but I'm saying you could use that as a tryout and come back next year. Because don't forget, the Senate's supposed to adjourn March 20th. There is not a huge window to have a confirmation hearing and have a vote between now and then and get to know Megan Wolf. So could they do it? Sure. But it's also possible they'll use this year as a tryout.
Okay, but a final note on this subject. Reacting to an NBC TV news story, the Elections Commission issued this statement. The commission has never detected a successful hacking attempt on its systems, nor has it ever been notified of one by the Department of Homeland Security or any other state or federal agency. This underscores the point that some commissioners made before they voted for Ms. Wolf. Look, we've got a major election coming up. We continue to deal with how safe are our voting registration systems. So I don't know who to believe, NBC News or our commission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same here.
Okay. Now let's move to the Ethics Commission. Mm-hmm. As we heard in Wish I Was There, they voted to name a temporary administrator. I've not had the pleasure of meeting Ms. Reinke. I don't know if you know her.
No, not personally, no.
And this is a 90-day appointment. Why?
They want time to look for permanent appointment. And when I talked to David Hallbrooks, the chair of the commission, after the vote, he said this was to maintain control of the appointment. Again, that 45-day window was rapidly approaching. If they didn't find somebody, JCLO could step in and do it for them. He worried about the idea of Republicans forcing somebody on the commission that they, and then in the end, find unacceptable and remove that person.
Right.
This was a way to get somebody in the job and kind of move forward. They will now post. He told me they'd approach DOA about posting the job and doing a search, how that would work. In talking to Pat Strakota, there are two members of the commission who voted against the appointment.
Two Republican designees, Lori McCallum and Pat Strakota.
Katie McCallum is the a party officer of the state GOP. Strakota is a former state lawmaker. I spoke with Strakota, and she said it was a process that bugged her. They should have moved earlier, right after the January 23rd vote, to not confirm Brian Bell. Because we waited so long, she said, we're now under the gun to do something.
Right.
She was more opposed to the process than she is of Katie's qualifications.
And I want to correct something I just said.
Qualifications, I'm sorry.
But I want to correct something. The vote against it was cast by the former governor's daughter, and I referred to
daughter-in-law.
Yes, daughter-in-law, thank you. And Lori McCallum is a former governor's wife, so mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. We have lawsuits were at play this week. Eric Holder's group sues the governor to try to force elections in the 1st Senate District and 42nd Assembly, vacated by the appointments of former Senator Frank Lissay and former Representative Keith Ripp. Now, the statement by the Mr. Walker's aide, the legislature will be adjourned for 2018 before these seats could be filled in special elections. Our decision is consistent with the law. I don't understand. Did Holder come in here to make a statement, say, I'm going to play in issues like this, I'm going to play in the Supreme Court? Why?
It makes a point. Now, practically speaking, by the time this lawsuit is over, we're not going to be able to fill the seats before November, right? So practically, and I'm not a lawyer, I hate to predict what courts will do. But if you just look at the timeline, like how would you be able to have a lawsuit, have it go through a circuit court, appeals court, Supreme Court,
right,
have a final recommendation, and get something done before November anyway? It could, however, set precedent, state law, about what it really means. Now, they're pointing to this thing saying that you have to have a special election if it can be filled before the last floor period, which is in May. If Walker had called a special election right after the December 29th announcements of the resignations, we could have people in place by May. The reality is we always knew the Assembly was going to adjourn in February, and the Senate was looking at March. So practically speaking, you couldn't fill both of the seats before each other. But now we have special elections, or sorry, a special session on board, so maybe you could have. I mean, I guess I'm getting at the practicality versus the legality when you have to fill a seat in a situation like this.
Okay, but the Eric Holder is played now in when to hold special elections, and he's been involved in the reapportionment fight.
He's also coming into play in the Supreme Court race.
And the Supreme Court race. But why pick... I'm just at a loss why he sued. The 1st Assembly District has been represented by A. Lissay, Allen and now Frank, since I think 1980, and Keith Ripp has held a pretty safe 42nd Assembly District
seat. They're not safe seats. They're moderately Republican
both
seats. And they're also a bad year for Republicans. I mean, remember, President Trump won the 10th Senate District by 16 or 17 points November of 16. Those two seats are not plus 17-point Republican seats.
So you see these two seats as in play.
They will be targeted
standpoint.
This fall, even without this. They'll be targeted this fall. They were going to be targeted before. Now, are they both Republican-leaning seats? Yeah.
Yes.
The 42nd, not as much as you would think. It's a fairly swingy seat, but Ripp was a good fit. Didn't really get much of a challenge. It's a perpetual target. The 1st, lots depend on who they get for candidate Republicans. I mean, Andre Jacques is running. He's a very conservative member of the State Assembly. Mm-hmm. There's another guy who's getting ready to announce that he's going to run the primary for Republicans as well. Jacques will be a formal force in primary.
He will.
But in a seat that, look at the 1st Assembly District, it's pretty swingy. So in a seat that's not that hardcore conservative, might there be an opening if you had not the right fit for Republican for Democrats? Yeah.
So Holder's group wanted to build on the momentum from the 10th Senate District and say, hey, we got a fair shot of winning some specials and laying the groundwork for November 6th.
Dems would have loved to have these elections this spring. They felt like they would, I'm sure they would feel like they would have the wind at their backs because of what's happened in the 10th.
Yeah.
They had a chance to pick them off. And if you're the incumbent, I mean, even if you're only incumbent for a little bit, it gives you a certain stature and, you know, gives you a leg up in election. So
okay, the other lawsuit this week, our Attorney General Brad Schimmel joined with the lead attorney general, co-led with the Texas Attorney General, to sue to void the Affordable Care Act. Now, this comes after days, I think 2 days, after the governor signed the $200 million prop-up subsidy of insurance rates of the 216,000 people buying their insurance through the marketplace. Is there a contradiction there? We have Attorney General suing to void a law that...
To critics, for sure, no. The Republican orthodoxy is that Obamacare is bad. They want to get rid of it. The sell that Walker and Republicans are trying to make about that reinsurance program is these are the parameters that we have because of the federal government. We should work within those parameters to try and get people some help. Again, there are people that voters that Republicans need this fall who have health insurance as a major issue for them, so this is kind of addressing their concerns.
Yeah.
But yeah, Democrats are going to have a field day complaining about it. Now, the question is, but what's it do? I'm not sure, again, not being a lawyer, I never predict what courts are going to do, whether this lawsuit is going to be different now because of what's changed with the law
yes.
by Congress versus the last time I went through the individual mandate stuff with the U.S. Supreme Court. But it gives something that also feeds the base for Walker and Schimmel about not liking Obamacare.
Yeah, Schimmel sees a contradiction in the provision in the new federal tax law and what's left of the Affordable Care Act. He says the ACA forces an unconstitutional and irrational regime on states like Wisconsin. I swore to uphold the rule of law and protect our state from overreaching and harmful actions from the federal government. So maybe a little contradiction, but so what?
And the players haven't changed much since the last time I went to the court, I believe. The only thing that's changed is Scalia now has been replaced by Gorsuch okay. from that first time around. So we'll see if a different argument has a different result.
So your stock picker taking the weekend off?
Back in its full glory next week, I promise.
Okay, but we had a development. Former Representative Adam Jericho announced he's not going to seek re-election. I haven't spoken with him. Did you?
No, didn't get in touch with him. He did put out a quote that he has a bumper sticker on his fridge in the garage that says something the fact
politicians in diapers
should be changed frequently for the same reason. Look, he ran for a term in the state Senate mm-hmm. just 2 months ago and lost. So you have to ask, well, what changed? Well, the Senate is, you know, a different job than the Assembly is.
It's a four-year term.
You can do more things by paper ballots, more flexibility. Maybe that played into it. Maybe, like, he's going, I don't want to be in the Assembly my entire life. So you think about it. The Senate seats back up in 2020. So do you wait and run again after having lost? I mean, you know, maybe the path upward is blocked. And for a lot of, I've noticed with a lot of Republicans who are coming to the Capitol these days, it wasn't like 15 years ago where you came here thinking this could be a career.
Yeah.
There are many fewer
yes, there are.
Republicans looking at this as going, I want to be here for 10, 15, 20 years.
But let's also look at how Mr. Jarko bucked his party on Kimberly Clark subsidies, tax credits,
mm-hmm.
Foxconn, and the state budget.
Among other things, yeah.
So, very interesting. Also, thousands of pages regarding the Foxconn deals have been released to reporters. I haven't had a chance to read them.
I've had a couple of my coworkers have telling us other places that were in play, other places that we looked at in Wisconsin for a possible site, you know, details of things like you know, what Governor Walker bought the delegation of Foxconn as gifts
yeah.
you know, to try to woo them. The land this
but
deal.
Michigan offered $3.7 billion in incentives,
and one
Wisconsin
of the things,
ponying up three.
And one of the concerns that was raised was Governor Snyder was not expected to seek re-election.
That's right, Governor Snyder, the Republican.
And Governor Walker has said that he's got to stick around and make sure this thing works because that's part of what they were looking for.
Right.
Plays his point about that.
Right. Okay, let's close this way. A week from now, we're going to be looking at Mr. Charles Franklin's new poll, which mm-hmm. comes out Monday, won't we?
Yes.
And we'll probably be looking at the governor's popularity rating.
And the president's as well.
That's right. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for March 2.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.